Lord, it's our privilege to open up your word. I ask that you would give us the strength and the help to communicate it, to receive it, to apply it, to live it into our hearts and lives. And for this, we'll give praise and thanks to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the book of Joshua offers us a rich study and understanding into the greatness and the power of our God. Yes, you may. The challenges that were faced by Joshua, the great lessons for us to learn from, to apply to our lives today, are rich there. And we have them. We find ourselves up against many obstacles and challenges in life. Some challenges are large, some small, some are nagging, some are just that persistent, always there, over our head kind of a thing. But as we see from this first chapter, God is a God of promise, and he always keeps his word. We also, though, have to come to understand we play a part in these promises. He gives to us these promises just as he did to Joshua in his day, and we need to realize as Joshua had to play a role, we have to play a role. And so the promises in his word that apply to us, we have to do our part. The key thing for us as modern Christians is to show the world by our lives, our faith, we show them a God who is still active, still powerful, still involved personally in the lives of his children. God, as deism says, hasn't just created us, left us, took off and went someplace on vacation for the rest of eternity. He's involved in our lives. He's there for us. And he wants to be involved in our lives. He offers himself to us on a regular basis. So to do this, we need to believe all of his promises, even when things in our lives look bleak. And there's times that things look bleak. Things look like, I don't know if I can go on. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't get this. I don't understand this. We need to believe his promises. From biblical history, we know that God has never once let down on his word, ever. Has he ever failed? We need to know this and believe this with more than our mouths. We need to believe it and make it a heart issue. It needs to be lived out in us. God's word is practical for today. Its message is what our world needs, and we have the responsibility to live our lives before people so that they see the reality of what God's word is and how it works. You see, the bottom line to this is that we must be people who, beyond a shadow of a doubt, take God at his word. We need to take him at his word, not question him, not doubt him, but realize he said it, it's there. It's written in stone. We need to be committed to this with action, with the way we live, with the choices we make, not just verbal noise. It needs to be seen in our lives. It needs to be demonstrated in our lives. And as we will see from Joshua, a lesson that we can apply to our lives, and it comes from this first chapter where many, many different things and many different promises are made. Now, some promises are specifically for what was going on there, but sometimes the principle of a promise applies. Not every promise is directed to every Christian all the time. There are certain promises that were given for certain places, certain times, certain people, and that we need to understand that. And we need to take that into account. But we need to realize that we can learn from these promises, and these promises that were given to Joshua are the same things that are offered to us. God has promised the victory to Joshua, but Joshua still had to go out and to fight the battles, but God was there with them. He says, you're going to go out to battle. They didn't just sit in the camp, make s'mores and cook hot dogs and say, okay, God, go do it. No, they had to still get up and go and do it and be a part of the promise. And I think this is a modern day misunderstanding in the day in which we live. If God promises, somehow Christians have gotten the idea that we just kind of sit back and let it fall into our lap, and God promised it, and God's going to do it, and everything is going to be fine. So what happens? Many believers have been discouraged by this wrong thinking. We need to fight the battles of life. They come in all shapes, all sizes, and all types. Some are physical battles, some are spiritual battles, emotional battles, many other types of battles that come our way. Yes, we have the promises, but we have to engage. We have to be there. Our part is to be engaged in the fight. You say, well, I could get hurt. I might get roughed up. I might get bruised. That's exactly right. You might. But we will win. And we'll win because that's the bottom line. Not just the battles. There's a lot of times people think that the whole emphasis should be on the battle. No, the emphasis is on winning the war. And so we fight the battles to win the ultimate war. And we know that God wins. We're on his side. But we still need to be engaged in those battles that come our way. So Joshua illustrates to us how this happens. And in the first couple of verses of Joshua chapter 1, it's written that after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Now, it didn't come as a surprise. Joshua knew he was going to inherit this job. All of a sudden, Moses doesn't die, and God knocks on Joshua's door and says, oh, by the way, he is preparing. He was getting ready. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross the Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites. And so in these verses, we see the job now officially in Joshua's hands. Think about the size of that task. Think about how daunting that task would be, leading what he has observed. He's been there for years as Moses' assistant. He knew what these people were like. He had seen them in action, and he had seen the disastrous choices that they made, and on and on. Would you want that job to lead this people? Whiny, complaining, defeated attitudes, people that you're called to lead. And yet, that's what Joshua had to do. We need to realize that we as Christians don't want to be like them with that kind of an attitude. We want to have an attitude that's totally opposite. We want an attitude that has the bright side showing because we know what God's up to. We know what God is doing. Now, there was a change of heart among the Israelites. Many of the troublemakers had been weeded out, and a new core of people were committed. That whole generation had to die in the wilderness, and they were not allowed into the land because of the way they lived their lives. And if you look down at verse 16, it says Joshua has given them some instructions, and they answered Joshua, everything you have commanded us, we will do, and everywhere you send us, we will go. And that was their commitment at that time. And so it was a good thing for them to do. These people had seen many of their group die, many of their family members die because of lack of obedience to the Lord. God got their attention, didn't he? God got their attention. You see, in life, you may not be called to lead a nation, but we have responsibilities in other ways of leading our families, leadership roles in the church, leadership roles in other places, and we have that responsibility. We face battles. We face problems. We face challenges. We need to believe God's promises to us because that's what motivates us. That's what keeps us moving. That's what keeps us going. If we were to do it in our own strength, we'd quit. We'd all resign. We'd all walk away. But we have the promises. And so in verses 3 and 4, God begins to give the promise to Joshua for Israel. Now, don't try and claim this promise because you're going to have a hard time doing it. This is what I mean. Some promises are specific. He said, I've given you every place where the sole of your foot treads. So don't go walking around your neighbor's property and saying, well, the Lord's giving me every place this, you know, I tread. And as he points you to the sign on the fence post or whatever, you're ushered out. So he's talking to them, every place the sole of your foot treads. Just as I promised Moses, your territory will be from the wilderness in Lebanon to the great Euphrates River and all the land of the Hittites and west of the Mediterranean Sea. And so he's giving them, you're going to go there. Wherever you step, it's yours. And so this promise was fulfilled. We see it happen as we read through Joshua and as we read through the rest of some of these areas, even into the book of Kings, where battles and things are taking place. But the promised land was there and it was designated. God then adds a personal promise to Joshua, who was probably in awe of this task that was ahead of him. And in verse 5, he says, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you." That promise is also for us, because in the New Testament we see it in several places that God has said, Jesus said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm not going to leave you hanging, I'm not going to leave you desolate." God says, "I'm going to be with you, not fail you or forsake you." That's pretty broad coverage. That covers everything. That's a big spectrum, isn't it? This promise of always being with us is so needed in our lives today. And it's also a very comforting fact. We stop and we think about it. When things get rough, when things get tough, when things don't look good, God is with me. God is with me. He's there for me. He's there to help me. He's with us. Jesus also tells us in the Great Commission, he says, as he sends us out, he says, "And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The writer of Hebrews says that God is with us. He'll not forsake us. He'll not let us down. So we all need to stop every once in a while, during the day, maybe when the pressure's on, during the night when you wake up and you can't get back to sleep, maybe when you're, you know, wherever you're at, stop and meditate on this fact. He is with me. He is with me. And that gives us a new focus. What does it do? It takes our eyes off what we see here, puts our eyes back where they belong. He is with me. And this fact should not only comfort us, but it should guide us. It should guide the steps of our lives. Guide what you do, how you do it. If he's with me, where am I taking him? Where am I taking him? If he's with me, where am I taking him? This should keep me from willful sinning. This should I take him to places to see things, to read things, or look at things, to think things that are contrary to his holiness? No, my responsibility, if he's with me, is to cooperate and do his will, his way. So his promise to be with me means I need to guard the sacred trust of the fact that he's there and that he's in my life. God also promises that he'll not fail us. How many times has the enemy of our soul tried to get you to think that God has failed you because God didn't move when you thought he should? You said, "Well, I prayed and I told this mountain to move and it didn't go anywhere, and now I'm really bummed out about this." How many times has that happened? Remember what we've learned in the past. God's promises are on his terms, to his intended learners and his hearers, by his methods, in his time. And we need to remember that. Or maybe in need, we realize, for us to grow, God in his sovereign will allowed us to learn some lessons that, again, didn't fit our time frame. You see, we have this way in modern Christianity in America that somehow God is supposed to fit our schedule. He's supposed to fit our lives. He's supposed to fit our lifestyles. Not going to happen. We're supposed to fit his. And when we learn that, we realize that when things come my way, they're there for a reason. Things don't happen to Christians by accident. They happen for a reason. God wants us to grow. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to follow him. And those things that happen. Now, some things we do bring on ourselves because of our stupidity at times. But even through that, God can work. And he can help us learn and he can help us grow. You see, some of the things that we have to do may be hard. They may be unpleasant. It may cost me something. Well, didn't Jesus say that it would? But we think that we're exempt from that? Not at all. So we think, well, God did let me down because it didn't happen like I thought it should. But he can't. He can't let us down because that would make him a liar. Who's the father of lies? Not God. The devil. He's the father of lies. So the Hebrew word for fail here is an interesting word. It means to sink down, to let drop. to be disheartened. So God's saying to Joshua, and he's saying to us, I will be with you. I will not let you sink down. Even though you might be in the mud, it's not going to swallow you up. You're not going to sink beyond what you can handle. I won't drop you and just leave you because things are hard and things are tough. I won't drop you even if you don't understand me. If you don't see me, I will not drop you. And so there's so many times that God removes the feeling of his presence. Now, there's no doubt in the feeling of his presence, that's an awesome thing. But there's so much in life where he removes that feeling of his presence. He says, you just trust me. And we build that trust. We build that confidence. Those are sometimes hard for us because we like the feeling. But Christianity is not all about emotion. It's about trust. It's about obedience. It's about belief. It's about following God. It's about doing what his word says. Joshua also says he won't let us be disheartened. You know, we get this way. It's not because of God when we get discouraged or disheartened. It's because we went our own way. We dropped the shield of faith. We dropped what he's given to us to stand firm for him. Not that God failed. Joshua needed this type of reassurance. He was about to lead this people to conquer the promised land. I think we need this kind of reassurance too when we see our world, when we see the situations going on around us, when we see all these new things happening. We need that reassurance. Personally, we all have times when this is needed. And it's good to know that God is always true to his word. He also says he'll not forsake us. This word means here in this context that God will not abandon us. He'll not turn his back on us and just say, well, you got yourself into the mess, get yourself out of it. Here again, we find comfort, we find security in all of life's dealings. Think of the trials that you face at times. Think of the things that you go through. Think of the things that may be in the near horizon for you that you know you've got to do or accomplish. When things get bleak, when things get hard, don't forget to think on the fact, he is with me. That's a fact. We can count on that fact. He will not let you sink down. He will not abandon you. Because of this promise, God could give the command of verse 6 to Joshua because of what he told him. He said, be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. You're going to do this. God says to be strong. He says to be courageous. This same charge is repeated in the next verse when he will also add things to what Joshua is to do. We'll see that in a moment. But to be strong here can also mean to become strong. We become strong through it. We grow through it and we gain that strength. You know, when you first start getting in shape and say you're going to work out with weights, you don't go into the gym and you don't start curling 100 pounds. You do, you're not going to do it. Where you start off slow and you start off doing those exercises with light things and you begin to build, you gain the strength as you go along. Sometimes in life, God says, as you go, you're going to build the strength that's there, but I will help you build that strength. I will help you grow your strength. And so he's there for us. Joshua was told that he is to be courageous. The Hebrew word actually reads brave, be brave. It means to be bold, to be alert, to be stout, to feel strong or strengthen oneself in the promise that was given. The promise is given, strengthen yourself in it. Be strong in it. The same charge goes out to us because this principle applies. We are to become strong in the face of whatever we experience, whatever we go through. We're not conquering nations or lands, but there are things in our lives that we need to conquer. There are areas in our lives that we need to conquer. There are personal problems that we're to become strong to conquer. Family trials that we need to become strong at times, and we need to crop up, they come up, and we need to conquer them. We need to overcome the temptations that we see all around us in our society. We need to be strong against them. Be strong and overcome in his mighty name is what the word is to us. Verse 7 says, above all, Be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. In other words, he's saying, listen, the instructions, the commands of God, the word of God been given to you. Don't turn from it at all. Not to the right, not to the left. Don't deviate. Don't do any of those things. He says you are to not turn from them, but you are to be very strong and courageous to observe them, follow them, do them. Again, Joshua is reminded to be strong and courageous, but also to be careful, to be obedient to God's law, to God's word, to what he said to us in his word. As in every promise of God, we have to take our role. We have to be obedient. We have to be obedient. God does not make promises according to our standards or our comforts or our comfort levels. Remember, God's promises on his terms to his intended hearers by his methods in his time. That's what he does. And in that, we need to stand. He makes them according to his eternal self. And we are to do what is required to benefit from them. You can't just say, well, he made that promise. That's good. Here's the basket. Fill it. You have to do what's required. So it's so simple, so important, so absolutely essential that we are obedient to all of God's word. That's what he wants. And they make that simple commitment. You'll be tested on it. You'll be tried in it. You'll be tempted not to do it. But I am going to be obedient to all of God's word, or not to deviate from it one bit. Doesn't matter what anyone else does. Doesn't matter what the crowd does. Doesn't matter if all of Christianity turns its back on God's word. We don't. Because we cannot turn away from full obedience. Doesn't matter what somebody says, well, I discovered this, and it just disproves. We stand with God's word, whatever. No matter what a group does, no matter what an individual does, it's not going to affect us. We have determined that we will stand on his word. Sure, this is going to cost us to be fully obedient to God, to be fully obedient to his word, but it's well worth it. Better to look and hear from him, well done, good and faithful, than what in the world did you do? I don't want to hear what in the world did you do. I want to hear well done, good and faithful servant. And so this is going to cost us, but that's okay. It cost Jesus everything. And he set the example. He says, take up your cross daily. Follow me. So God even says, for our full obedience, that we will have success where we go. Now, the success he's talking about is not the world's standards. When he says you're going to have success, we're not going to say, well, let me start making my list because this is what I want. No, it's according to his standards, and that's much more important. Success according to his standards. Then God gives us a very important directive to Joshua and to us in verse 8. It says, this book of the instructions, some translations say this book of the law, must not depart out of your mouth, but you are to recite it or meditate on it day and night. What's that say to us? God's word is to be on our minds constantly. What does his word say? Decision comes up, what's his word say? Choice comes up, what would God do? When we have a thing to understand, what does God's word teach us about this? We recite it, we meditate on it day and night so that we, what? May be careful to observe everything written in it. For then, he says, you will prosper and succeed. Not because you do your own thing, but when you do this with his word, this will happen in wherever, whatever you do. So we need to look at that in life and say, hey, I need to be committing myself to his word, to meditating on it. And you really can't meditate on it if you don't memorize it. Because you can't walk around with your Bible in your hand all day long. So you memorize a portion of scripture and then you begin to meditate on it. Ask the Lord, what passage would you want me to memorize? And if you have to, just start off with a verse, but then try and build to the context of it. You know, memorize Psalm chapter 1, Psalm 15, if you want to know what God expects of you and how to live. And, you know, those things. There's some lofty ideas that we have. There's some lofty plans that we want to accomplish. And so we need to ask him to help us in those ways. because that's an important directive that comes our way from God. We are to meditate on His Word day and night. And actually, that's what Psalm 1 talks about, that how blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of the wicked counsel, but he meditates on His Word day and night. He's like what? A tree planted by river streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. And so that's where it needs to go. And so we need that. And then in verse 9, God says, "Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Again, the command, a reminder to reassure Joshua is given. Isn't reassurance nice? Isn't reassurance welcome in our lives when somebody comes along and says, "Hey, you're right on target. You're doing the right thing. Keep on doing it." And that's what this reassurance comes from, His Word. He reassures us. Reassurance is a wonderful thing. We all enjoy it when it happens, and we realize that it doesn't just happen by chance. It happens when we earn it and when we do what's right. So as we go on, we realize that there's many things in this first chapter that we don't have time this morning to cover. But God will do the same for us when we go through the things of life that we do from time to time, if we'll do His will, if we'll do His Word. God tells Joshua not to tremble or be dismayed. The reason? He, God Almighty, will be with him wherever he goes. He says the same thing to us. "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." What a promise. But we still have to do the going. We still have to be involved. We have to do our part. The Hebrew word tremble here means to dread, to fear, to be terrified, to be dismayed. It means to be broken. It means not to have panic. We're told not to allow your emotions of fear or dread or whatever to break you down. Don't be in panic when the job seems too large, when the problem seems too big. Don't panic or be demoralized. Why? I am with you. I'm there. It's a solid rock that we have to stand on. The solid rock that He has for us to be firm in all that we do, all that we say, all that we propose to do in life. He is there for us to guide us and to direct us. And for that, we can be grateful, we can be praiseful, we can move forward for Him no matter what stands in front of us. No matter what the society around us does, no matter what the pressures we face, God is with us. When their trials come, God is with us. When a problem crops up, God is with us. When something else, God is with us. We need to keep that focus, keep that in front of us, and determine to do His will in all things and to stay true to His Word. Father, we thank You, we praise You for allowing us to have this reassurance from Your Word in our lives. Help us to walk in it. Help us to do our part. Help us to be obedient. Give us that strength. We thank You. We praise You. We worship You. And help us to go out and conquer for You whatever You bring in our lives. For this we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.